And so Eric is going to be talking to us a little bit today about a program he's in called Flight Training. And that's So Flight Training is a group that I got started a few years ago, and it's a one-year program, goes January to December. And the key image of it is this empty nest, this idea that you get invested in while you're in flight training, almost like a baby bird, but then there becomes this moment where it's time to kick you out of the nest and you got to fly on your own, be doing things as a leader on your own. And so the two wings, if we can use the flying analogy of flight training, are developing spiritual disciplines and then developing practical steps of doing some leadership stuff. So the first wing on the spiritual discipline side, Eric, tell us how that's made an impact on your life.
Okay, first of all, I am not a big fan of coming up here, but I'm a big fan of God, so that's the reason I came up here today. Solitude. Now, solitude is, I found a way to spend time with God, and what I've been doing is I go to this lot every day, about four or five times a week, and I walk my dogs there, and it's this guy's, it's about an acre of property, and I just talk to God. God don't speak to me every time, but I know that's one of the places he will speak to me if I go there. So I go there every single day. It just started off like once or twice a week, and now it's almost every single day, depending on the weather. So, yes.
Yeah, and so with flight training, we talk about these things like fasting or meditation or solitude or studying.
Fasting, that was a tough one for me.
Tough one for Eric.
Big time, yes.
But then there's a lot of challenge to actually do things. And so that's one that's stuck with Eric, is he's spending this time out alone with God and getting that still time to listen. So that's really good. We do these labs every 2 months where we're preparing for doing some sort of leadership activity. So tell us about this last lab that you did and how it impacted you.
Well, labs are action I usually wouldn't take. It's kind of like sponsor, and I give direction to people. It's action we usually don't take. But this lab here went really good. I picked three guys, and I chose to go to Ray Martin's class with the kids, and bless Ray. That is very tough, but we went there, and one of the guys that I took, he lives across the street. He doesn't come to church. He does come, I have him come on Wednesdays for dinner. I've done that a lot, and I've seen that I've had a good experience in that. Invite him for, us Baptists invite people for dinner. But anyway, he was raised in he don't know his parents, was raised in a family, foster care all of his life. So he had a really good connection that night, and we did a skit, and we went over Ruth 116, so it was really cool. Now, from doing that, he wants to come back and get involved with Ray's class, so that was a really win-win situation there.
Awesome. So with that lab, you had to lead something that you didn't feel good at yourself, and you had to encourage other people in their spiritual gifts.
Yes.
And now you've pushed this guy even further. So really excited for what you're doing in flight training. Eric, thank you for sharing us about it. Yeah.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
And that's just one example here at Maywood, what we're trying to do, of equipping people to use their gifts here at Maywood in ministry and here in the community. So I want to invite Derek and Sian to come up. They're going to be leading us in worship. So let's pray as they set up. Jesus, I thank you so much for what you're doing in Eric's life and the life of other people here as well. God, I pray that you continue to give us gifts and help us to use those gifts for you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
So we're going to talk about Maywood. We're going to talk about the future, the direction of Maywood. So we'll spend some time there. Early service let us know that people, every time they come to church, they come with very deep and very serious issues. And so we're going to try to walk down both sides. We want to talk about Maywood's future, invite you to tomorrow night's meeting down in the fellowship hall, 6:00. We'll get lots of stuff. To quote our illustrious pastor, Jake Taylor, we'll get into the weeds tomorrow night. So we'll be talking about that. We're going to try to talk some about that, give you an idea of where we're headed. But we also want to say something to you personally, okay? So one of the best ways to read the Bible is to read it as it applies to us. So it has a historical context. There's something that goes on in the past. You want to know about that. But then you go from the past to the present. How does this apply to me? How does this speak to my life? So as I've been reading the book of Deuteronomy, it happens to be one of my favorite books in the Bible, and as I've been reading through Deuteronomy, I read a passage in chapter 3. Let's go ahead and put it up there. And this spoke to me. These are the words of Moses, and Moses is ending his career leading the people of God. And I am ending mine. I'm not going anywhere. So I've had people say, Pastor Bob, where are you going? Nowhere. I'm not going. I'm just not getting paid. All right. So I'll be like the majority of you all. Okay.
We got to interrupt. I think it might be Lisa, but the mom of Mila is needed in the nursery.
There you go. All right. Yep. Perfecto. There you are. Fear not. So, while you're leaving, I'll tell a story. I once held my 2-year-old son in my arms and preached because my wife was working. And so those things do happen. So Moses was ending his career. And as he was ending his career, he knew that there was a role that he had to play and the people of God had to play. But there's also a role that Joshua, his successor, did. Now, I'm not Moses, Jake's not Joshua, but you take the Bible and apply it to your life, that's a great way to look at it. I so want to encourage you, when you read the Bible, please read the Bible, read it with an idea. God, what are you trying to say to me? What are you speaking to me about? So this really spoke to me actually quite several months ago. And so I was reading it and it said, commission Joshua. So a couple of years ago, we commissioned Jake to the role he has, and he's been serving as pastor now for quite a while. Commission, amen. Commission Joshua, encourage and strengthen him. Let me stop there. I have been blessed to have a lot of people who are 10 years older than me, maybe sometimes 15 years older than me at times, who did just that. They encouraged and they strengthened the work we're doing. There are gatekeepers in the church, and there are folks in the church who can say, you can't do that here. And I will take you to a lot of dead churches between Independence and downtown Kansas City where a group of older people said, no, you can't do that here. And the young people left and the old people stayed, and then guess what happens to old people? It happens 100% of the time until Jesus comes back, we die. And so do those churches. So our role, my role, I'm going to promise this to you, Jake, and the church, my role is to encourage and strengthen. By the way, I will not attend business meetings. I'm not going to attend meetings that have any decision making because he needs the ability to be the pastor of the church. And you all could applaud that. Yeah. Amen. That's our role. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to roll over and play dead, but it does mean we're going to let young people lead. Now, the next step is they will lead. And I'm going to turn this to Jake in a second, but I want to speak to young people, the next generation. There's some old folks like me who are ready for you to step in and lead. Okay? And so when we present opportunities, you need to say, here I am. I'm ready. Okay? And so that involves in-house type leadership, but it also involves outside the four walls. And here's the best thing about this whole story that I've said so far, and that is, I know you're going to do it. I know Jake is going to lead with his team of people. They're going to lead wonderfully. And I also know there's going to be a core of people who say, let's go. And here's where they're going. They are going across and they're going to inherit God's promise. Now, in this case, it was the land, but we're going to inherit God's promise for the church. And for that, we want to say thank you. So, Jake, I spent a lot of time on this. Talk about where we're going.
So where we're going, real quick, broad to start us. Same thing we talked about last week. Every Christian's called by Jesus at the end of Matthew to go and make disciples. Baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. That's our mission. And how does that actually play out? Well, it plays out by what Eric was describing and during his testimony time. Eric's got some guys that he's spending a lot of time with, and he's putting into them the same steps that helped him get sober, but also some of these steps that helped him grow in his walk with Jesus and take hold of his gifts. And now, just as I'm pushing Eric to do things he's not very comfortable with because I see all this potential in him, he's doing that same thing with other people.
That's how it works. You get close to somebody, and the same things that Jesus has put in you about how to follow Jesus, you put those same things in someone else. And it works with Bob and I. There's certain things that I do, and people have asked me about it, like, well, Jake, why do you do that? And I've said, Bob does it that way. So I just do it that way because Bob does it that way, and it's good enough. You know, like, that's good enough for me. And not all, as Christians, obviously, our first goal is to look at Jesus and do things the way Jesus does. But life has a lot of details, and we need people that we can look at and say, I know them, I know the type of life that they lead, and I'm going to copy some of what they do to get the same results. And so we share, we disciple that same way. And that command that Jesus gives us, it's bookended with two other statements. Jesus says, all authority is mine. It's all been given to him. And then he ends the Great Commission by saying, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus won't leave us. Bob and I are not competent in and of ourselves. So nobody in the room is competent by themselves. Jesus working in us is what makes us able to do things for God. So that's the big picture. We're going to get down a lot more.
But we're going to get more details. Let's skip the next scripture here and look at it. So the next scripture, the Lord said to us at Horeb, the mountain of God, you've stayed long enough at this mountain. Is there anybody who, it's like you got a word from God when you were in the mess of your life, and he said, you've been here long enough? Amen. I mean, it's just time to get up. And so there's a part of being enslaved to self and sin and all the stuff that we're enslaved to. And God mercifully came to us and he said, come on, get out of there. Took us by the hand, lifted us up and brought us along. What a marvelous gift that is. That's God's gift. And so we get to a certain spot in our life with God. And God says, great, but I've got more for you. Come on with me. Okay, so I had a salvation experience where I gave my life to the Lord. Somebody was talking to me about they didn't know how to pray, and I said, neither did I. But God heard my heart, and he moved in my life dramatically, better than some of my more flowery prayers ever. So you come from being enslaved to sin to walking with God. And then God says, come on, Eric, let's go to flight training. And you got to take another step. And I'm just picking on Eric because he shared his testimony. There are others. God has said, come on and lead a Sunday school class. Come on and do a tent revival in a tough part of town. Come on and have a mobile ministry where you take your music to other places. That's another thing that's percolating around here. And God says, come on. Let's take another step. Let's make a move. So I want to be very straightforward with you right now. Some of you right now need to hear, come on today and give your life to Jesus. Get started right now. Open your life to me. And you need to hear nothing else in the rest of our sermon until you do that, okay? Just say, yes, Lord. And there's some of you who you've been living in one realm of Christianity, and God says, you know, there's more for you than this. You've been sitting and soaking and souring like Kathy Verbrugge talked about here a little while back. You've just been sitting. You've been receiving. You've been on the, you know, you're coming and you're doing good and you give us your money. Thank you. All right. But there's more, and God's calling you for more. And so there's another step for you to take. All right. Now, when you were staying in your away from God condition, there was a pattern of life. And when God came and got you and he took you out of that, you had another pattern of life. And now God wants to take you to another place, and there's another pattern of life. The same thing that worked back when you were lost doesn't work now when you're saved. And the same thing that happened when you're just kind of sitting in church and attending and being a good part isn't going to work for when you come the next step. Y'all with me on that? All right? The same thing that is true there is true for the church. All right? So we have stayed long enough with the old models and patterns of ministry. And I believe that they have served us well and they've worked for us well, but God has new patterns for us. He has new things for us to do. So the next verse says this. So I've given you this land. Do you hear that? God says to Maywood Baptist Church, I have given you Western Independence. All right? He has. God has given us this. He has appointed us for this. I once had a state representative who had run an election in one of my churches I pastored. And I looked at her and I said, were you happy that you got elected? And she said, yes, I am. Do you have to go to work now? Yes, I do. So God has given us this land. We have been elected for that, but he's given us the responsibility of serving it. All right? So he says, see, I've given this land. Go and take possession of it. Now, we're going to go strap a bunch of swords on and run out. We're not going to do that. But we're going to go with the love of God and the goodness of God and the message of Jesus Christ. And we're going to tell people, hey, I met Jesus. He changed my whole life. He'll do the same thing for you. Huh? Amen? So that's our task, and God has given that to us. And Jake, yeah. Go.
Yeah. So hand the baton. So over and over in the Old Testament, when it's talking about the Promised Land, it'll say a land flowing with milk and honey. God knew that there were going to be battles to take hold of that land. It wasn't going to be easy to take hold of that promise. And so he put it in their mind over and over, this is worth sacrificing for. It's worth a struggle to get there. So when we think about what is God calling Maywood to, why is it worth going through an uncomfortable change? Why is it worth going through a struggle or a sacrifice? I want us to think about what is God calling Maywood to do? What is he going to give to us? And our two vision passages is the Great Commission in Matthew 28, and then it's Ephesians 4. And in Ephesians 4, verse 7 through 13, there's a verse in there that's actually quoting back from Psalms. And it talks about, in Ephesians, talks about Jesus leading many captives who he's given gifts to. And Bob and I talk about these verses a lot, but Bob helped me see that particular idea of captives differently. Talk us through it.
Yeah, I could pick 50 people in here to talk about, but I'm going to pick on Mike Sanders since he's on the front row. So there was a time when Mike Sanders was a mess. Amen. And some of you all were in the same mess that he was in when he was in a mess, all right? He was captive. Now, let me just give you a real good disclaimer. If we're really honest with ourselves, every person here is a captive to sin and self. Some of our sins look different than others, but sin is sin, all right? And I talk about this ever so often. Addiction is the big sin of our nation, you know. But greed is the bigger sin of our nation. It's just acceptable in the church. Think on that one.
It's Mike's story, so sorry to be telling your story for you. But Mike thought all these things were going to make him happy, and there was greed and addiction in both. And it was like ashes in his mouth when he got them. You know, it wasn't what he wanted. He got a whole big bite of what he wanted, and it wasn't good.
So you're a double dipper in the area of sin? Wow, man. So here's the deal. God took a man who was captive. I love the passage in Ephesians. He says he took a host of captives. And here's my mental image. He took you by the hand. He lifted you up out of that world. He said, come on, Mike, walk with me. But Mike isn't walking alone with Jesus, because Mike's got his hand reached back to another host of people, and he's lifting up another host of people and saying, come on with me. Walk with me. And he's got a vision. I don't know if he's told this, and I don't know if I'm supposed to, but I'm going to. He's got a vision of a tent revival down there in Dog Patch. Huh? What do you think? So here is a captive who is now not a captive to sin, but a captive to Christ, who is greedy for lost people, wants them to come to know Jesus and be transformed. And our job is to encourage and to support, and this guy's job is to help lead and direct. It's going to be a lot of fun, okay? Back to you.
Back to me, okay. So nothing changes if nothing changes, right? If you don't actually change things in your life, you're not going to be any different. And so we're going to talk about some stuff happening here at Maywood. We're going to get very specific. If you're here today and you're like, this is my first week here, I don't really care about this stuff, think about
if a church has to change how they spend their time, how they spend their effort, how they spend their money in order to be better connected with what God wants for them, you may need to make changes too. So be thinking about that as we talk through this stuff. But we're going to get into two areas. If you want to come tomorrow night, we will talk a lot more about these two things. So tomorrow at 6, have time for questions and things like that. So first thing I want to talk you through with structure here is worship coach. Now, I've got this little graph here we'll explain in a second. Here's the big idea with worship coach. At a typical church, a typical model that Bob was mentioning before, there's been these old models and we're going to do something different. Typical model had a lot of good things going for it. It was, we have this time during our Sunday service where we're going to use music to help people encounter God, and it's going to be a powerful experience. It's going to be worship. And so they would design a worship program to fit the need of having that spot filled during the service. Served a lot of churches very well. There's nothing against it. It's borne a lot of fruit. Maywood's calling is to equip people to use their gifts to follow Jesus. And so our structure needs to change to fit that calling. So what are we talking about structurally here? Well, let me take you through these four little layers, and then we'll talk about a little bit about what could happen. So the very bottom of that trapezoid, the kind of light orange, I met a guy back, this was a couple years ago, but when I met him, he didn't have very much time at Maywood, and he had done a lot of drugs in his past, and he'd also been a part of like a heavy metal, like he'd been a drummer for like a heavy metal, like crazy band or something. That type of person may not be ready to be on stage on Sunday morning, but we'd love to have a place for them on the team where they can start using the passion that they have and start being developed. So that kind of bottom tier there is folks that have got a passion for worship. They have some sort of potential that there's a gift there. And so let's get them on a team, not just saying, well, you got to get ready and then you can get on the team, but get them on the team, getting invested in. Okay, so pretty low bar of entry. Then you go up to the top of that trapezoid. That's people who have been developed to the point where they can be a part of a team that's leading people productively into worship, into encounter with Jesus, okay? And that top group is going to be investing in the group right below it and mentoring them and developing them. So then you come up to those three triangles. It doesn't just have to be three, but those are worship leaders. And as soon as I say that plural, if you've been at church for a long time, you think, why would we need worship leaders, like plural? So Maywood's idea, you know, if you're just looking for, we want to fill a need on Sunday morning, then you only need one worship leader to do that. And at a typical church, you have a good worship leader, and then if somebody else wants to be a worship leader, like, well, then they need to go somewhere else. There's not space. Our idea is if God blesses us with people that have been gifted to lead in worship, like, we want to develop the gifts that are there. We want to take them as far as we can develop them. We want to be faithful to that Ephesians 4 passage. So I have faith that God's going to bring us a lot of people into that bottom tier, and they're going to be developed into that top of the trapezoid, and then some of those people are going to be called to be worship leaders. And we're going to develop them without knowing exactly where they're going to land. We're going to have this model of developing what's there. So who's on top of all that? That's the circle. That's the worship coach. And so their primary job is developing that whole, all those layers. So down a few years down the road, as this team develops, that worship coach may not be on stage leading musically on any given Sunday. Because if they've raised up other people to lead, they may be using that as a way to develop other people. And so right now in this interim that we're in with Derek and Sam, we've gone through all these changes since August. It's all preparing us to get to this spot. And so we're going to be talking more about that tomorrow night. If you've got questions and things like that, how is it going to work? Come tomorrow night. We'll talk more about it. But the point of this model is instead of thinking, oh, we've got this one thing that we need to do, we're thinking, God's given us these people. How do we develop them? And we want that in every area of our church. And it's going to open up a lot of creative options for what could happen down the road. But for the sake of time, we'll leave that for Monday. The next one has me even more excited. So let me tell you a little story, and then we'll get to team captains. So very quickly, this is a picture from my garden at my old house. This is back probably 2014. And I'm not a great gardener,
But this year, my tomato plants, I bought those little things at Lowe's, the little cages, and they overgrew those. And so then Chrissy's stepdad is a carpenter, and so had him get these really long poles of wood, and we put two of them together to make it really tall, and they were probably sticking up, you can kind of see them, that's an 8-foot tall ladder, so the poles are sticking up about 8 feet out of the ground, and I start tying them up, and then I start tying metal between the poles so I can bend the plants, because they just like keep growing, so they're getting more than 8 feet tall. I don't own another ladder, and Shane and I think we're friends by then, but I didn't want to have like someone come over with some giant ladder. So I've got this 8-foot ladder, I've got these tomato plants that are 8, 9, 10 feet tall. There's a neighbor's tree next door is overhanging the yard a little bit. And so by the end of the summer, I'm starting to tie the tomato plants to the tree above it because it's that tall. I don't have anything taller. I'm using little pantyhose things to tie it onto these branches of a tree. I talked to one of my friends who's gardened a lot more than me, and he just really, as soon as I started to talk about all this, he just said, why didn't you top the tomato plants? Like, why didn't you just cut them off at the top and they wouldn't grow anymore? They wouldn't grow any higher and then you wouldn't have to mess with that. I'm not a super gardener, but I just thought the whole point is to get them as big as possible, at least in my mind, it's to encourage them as much as possible. No one at Maywood would complain if I were the type of leader who topped some of the gifts that God has given us. People would expect that, actually. They think, whoa, look at those 6-foot tall tomato plants. Isn't that great? Do you know where they came from? Isn't that awesome? What we're talking about doing, it's not conventional to say God has gifted people and God can do better things through them than he can do through me. Jesus says that he's sending us the same way that God sent him, and Jesus says you're going to do greater things than I did. Jesus says that. So surely my goal as a leader should be to equip other people to do more than I could ever do. So how do we build those poles that go way taller than what you can buy at Lowe's? How do we build the type of church that's got a structure for developing people way higher than the average of what we've seen? So team captains is a big piece of it. It's the idea of folks that have been through, when we started flight training, I thought this is going to take people so far. But now that I'm starting to see some of these folks graduate, I see we need more than what we currently have. So when you start to hear about people doing tent revivals, and I believe people are doing other stuff besides that already, starting to fill big holes in the community where there's holes in the recovery path. People are already starting to fill in those gaps. And I start to see that God, out of Maywood, is going to raise up some incredible leaders. I can't think of a role in ministry that somebody at Maywood couldn't eventually do, including things like planting churches, including things like starting nonprofits or for-profit businesses that change our community. Also, just to give you a little more backstory than first service got, I grew up in a church where two different pastors had crazy, terrible scandals that tore apart a lot of stuff that God did. And I don't want to be responsible for just sending people out that are going to build something up and then see Satan burn it to the ground. We have to equip people to be able to handle the things that God is calling them to. And so the team captain's idea is let's take two or three folks that we see this incredible potential in, and we're going to put them through a 2-year training program here at Maywood. It's going to be this huge commitment on their part and our part. We're going to take our best and brightest, most experienced people and pour into them, but also have those team captains lead really big stuff in our community. Now, that's not a lot of specifics. Tomorrow we'll get into more specifics. But the team captain's idea, I think, has giant potential for the kingdom of God. I think it's going to do a lot more outside of Maywood than it's going to do in Maywood. One other thing I want to tell you before we move to the end of the service, though, today is those leaves that were up in the tree, that were 12 feet off the ground on the tomato plant, I didn't get my biggest tomatoes off of those top branches. Some of the stuff that was at the very bottom of the plant, I got the biggest tomatoes early in the season, and I even got a second batch of tomatoes later in the season off of those bottom parts. Only a few people are going to be team captains the next couple years, and there's a church of hundreds of us. Right out of the gate, I want to tell you, if you're not one of these people, it doesn't mean you're somehow lesser in the kingdom of heaven. Every single one of us is responsible to be faithful with the gifts we've been given. Some people need training in this area or that area to use their gifts. But whether we're up on the top of some chart or at the bottom of some chart doesn't determine what God can do through us. There's no reason to be jealous of somebody else. It's how do we together serve faithfully? And I do think this is a piece that's needed for Maywood. Bob, do you want to wrap us up?
Will do. So two things. Number one, I think that Maywood has a tremendous future, and I'm thrilled to be a part of it. I want to see all that God has to do through Jake's leadership and the leadership of you people. So I'm amen for that. I look forward tons to see the structure that he has just outlined. I can't wait for January to get here and to see that take place. I think that's going to be fantastic. That being said, if you're here today, and when I was talking about being trapped over here and captured, and you got to get free, let today be that day. Let Jesus take you by the hand and pull you out. If you have any desire in your heart right now to follow Jesus, it's because he put it there right now. And all you have to do is say yes to him. Lord, yes, say yes. Mike's going to stand right here in just a second, and he'll be a good guy to pray with you as you come up and you want to get some freedom. So let's go ahead and stand, please. And Derek, Sian, why don't you all come on up, and I'm going to lead us in prayer. Lord, we just ask that you speak to us exactly the way you want to. There are a lot of things that Jake and I talked about here this morning. You have things you want to do with us. Help us, I pray, to respond to you. In Jesus' name, amen.